It's your girl, Queen Sunny Honey, and welcome to a special Kwanzaa edition of Freedom Friday. That's right. I'm bringing you limitless love and blessings from the other side of the planet. And today, we have, when I say limitless blessings, brothers and sisters, I truly brought you guys a no-limit soldier today. When I say someone who's out here winning as a black man all over the globe, having, you know, when you hear my stories and listen about living my best life, this brother right here has extra decades of living bliss as a black man on the planet. Without further ado, I want to just share with y'all just for a little bit, my brother from another mother, Mr. Robert Faison. Are you on the line with us today?
Yes, I am, Sister Sunita.
He knows me by my government, y'all, but y'all call me Queen Sunny, honey. Tell us, Mr. Robert Faison, where are you from and where do you live?
Well, I was born in upstate New York to about the age of 25. When I left there, I went into the United States Navy, did my 20 years, and in the process of doing my 20 years, I acquired a family. And after I retired from the United States Navy, within a year, I became a contractor and deployed to the Middle East. That was in 2008, and I've been in the Middle East since then, currently contracting in the state of Kuwait. So I've been living amongst the Arabs for about 16 plus years, and I love it over here.
Man, sweet 16 to you. So tell the people, is there a black presence in the Middle East? There's this myth out there. Is that a truth or a myth?
No, African Americans from America are here. Black Africans from Africa are here. They do have some European blacks that are actually in the Middle East, working in the Middle East. Maybe not as many in Kuwait as there are in Dubai and Bahrain. They are here in the Middle East. We are global. Don't let them trick you thinking we're not here. Even in the Arab community, there are dark-skinned Arabs. Our melanated complexion here. So we've been here. We will always be here. They will never really eradicate us, even though they'll try.
Wow. So when you say that there's all that these black said, people there, are y'all all right over there compared to America's and the treatment of black people all over the globe? How is it? What's the distinct differences you see between the connection of race?
The difference between America and the Europeans, how they treat black folks as a whole, is completely different. We are somebody, they recognize us as individuals, as human beings, where America, in my opinion, is still a slave mentality. Do as we say, don't say this unless we tell you to say something. So as far as black people as a whole, globally, we exist, and I feel that they treat me a whole lot better. I've always been treated fair amongst the Arabs. From day one, they call me brother. They recognize me as brother. Although we have different beliefs, but they still see me as brother. Whereas in America, it has always been the same Jim Crow South and the Black Code laws. Even to this day, everybody's watching social media. Everybody is seeing what's going on. That's nothing new. That's been going on since the country was founded. It's just now with the media and technology present, everybody gets to see. Even the Arabs ask me, what is with this police in America? Why are they like this? And I tell them, it's always been like that. It's nothing new. That's America. That was the European utopia when they left Europe. They came to another country, and it took the country by force. The country wasn't given to them, North America, North South America. They took it by force. So that being said, as black people being treated fairly globally, I would say we're treated fairly and globally outside of America, North America, than any other country.
Brother Robert, I've had the honor of meeting with you both stateside and living amongst you and your family for the holiday seasons here. Can you tell me, what is it like for you when you go back home compared to what you're used to these last 16 years?
Wow, that's, I see America as a police state. So for me, whenever I leave the Middle East, it's like going back to the plantation. That's just me. My girlfriend, my wife, she's beginning to recognize that it is like being on a plantation. So again, it's hard for people probably to understand that. But once you leave America and you've been outside of the country for 16 plus years, not associate with the American as far as working or the military, a person will see that. You get the macro view from outside of America, where you're in America, you're in the middle of it, so you don't see the big picture because you're caught up in a rat race of from day to day, trying to make a dollar here, trying to pay rent here, living day by day when you're in America. So living outside of America, it's a difference.
Yes,
I mean, there was another brother, too. Let's go to history. Let's look at James, what's that brother? James Baldwin, right? He left America during the 60s because he recognized what America was about. Then he turned around and saw the struggle that the other brothers had, Martin Luther, and then Malcolm X was having a problem. He came back to join the struggle to help them brothers with the civil rights. So, again, I'm outside and I see it. Also, I comprehend now what those brothers were talking about, which I'm thankful for them. Without the civil rights movement, I wouldn't be where I am today.
You know, you woke up something really profound. We want people to wake up to the opportunities that exist. One of the things that, you know, when it's time to leave, you have this exposure to the military. But oftentimes people are like, the fear of the unknown. Well, ladies and gentlemen listening, you're here to see that facing that fear, something greater has been on the other side for my brother Robert and for myself, and just knowing that the systemic racism is truly optional. Not giving any props to Kanye West with his, you know, mentality on slavery, but it's a conditioning of people that not used to this particular lifestyle. Let's get into food. We're from food deserts, places in America where we recognize that urban communities don't have access to food. We are aware of the Monsanto's family and just genetically modified foods in general. What is different about food and your relationship with food in the Middle East?
Wow, that's a great question, because recently in the last 2.5 to 3 months, I've actually been practicing vegan. I have little to no meat intake, and if I do any meat, it's just going to be fish. And I noticed also when it comes to food that the Americans sell you whatever products just to, as I will say, poison the body. And everybody knows that, hey, eating fast food is not good for you. So for me, I've learned in the last, let's say, couple years, not to do fast food. And then recently, like I said, in the last few months, I have not really eaten much meat. So what comes to my health is all about health. Matter of fact, anything that's alive, that's what we need to be eating. We don't need to be consuming anything dead carcasses, right? Because we need the enzymes. The enzymes is what's going to keep us living. That's what's going to help the body develop, fight off the immune system. Not, you know, medicines, as they say, a Tylenol here, a Motrin there. Again, all those drugs are hazardous to the human body. The human body will defend itself. Like Dr. CB said, If you just get rid of the mucus, you get rid of the disease.
That's right.
Question is, what caused mucus? If you figure out what causes mucus that individuals consuming, then you get rid of your mucus and you get rid of your disease. And you won't need to eat the foods that the corporations offer as an incentive, along with the commercials, advertisement, try this, try that. Every year it's the same thing around the holidays. So, eat healthy and you'll be healthy. And also, you're tapping to a new spiritual level of your life.
Brother, you are an entire package of information and wisdom. I want to go into this travel. It's been 16 years. I don't know how many passports you've gone through, but tell us about two. Tell us some of these places you've gone. Take us on a journey.
As far as the 16 years in the Middle East, I pretty much have been everywhere. I won't say everywhere. The countries I have not yet gone to, I still would like to go to. I have not been to Oman. I want to go to Oman. I have not been to Jordan. I want to go to Jordan because I want to go to Petra. I've been through Saudi Arabia, but I haven't actually been in the country where I could travel to where the monuments are. Africa, I've been to Ethiopia 2 years ago when they had their so-called lockdown or mini revolution. I have not been to Kenya. There's a lot of countries I want to go to is Africa. So 2021 into 2022, we are going to tour Africa. We're going to go see some of those countries, Kenya, Ghana, Uganda, you know, maybe South Africa. I'm not trying to really go down there, but anyway, as far as traveling, the Middle East I've been to. Europe, I've seen Europe my 20 years in the Navy, I've seen Europe. I've seen Australia, so this, the continent, one of the seven continents I haven't had really much time to get to is Africa, only one country in Africa. So basically, I want to go to Africa. I want to go to those countries. I want to spend time on that continent amongst the people the same color as me that has their own businesses, running their own country. So that's me. So as far as traveling, yes. Europe I've seen. Australia I've seen. I'm tired of Europe. The Australians, they're okay. But I've been all over Europe. Italy, Spain, Portuguese, France, Marseille. What else we go in the places?
Did you see a lot of the African presence in the museums, in the in these colonizers' countries? Were you able to see our great architecture and our work inside the museums and everywhere?
At that time in my life, as a younger man, I was not interested in going to the museums. However, now I am very interested in going to museums. Matter of fact, every country I go to, now we travel to the museum, read up on their cultures. And like he was saying, the colonizers, I have been reading about the art. They have art in the UK and in Europe, European countries, and their claim to the art is that the Africans does not understand the significance and how to maintain the art. But it's their art. It came from their culture. Like Greece. You know, Greece, we know, is mixed with African art. But we look at Europe, they grab African art in their museums, and we know it's from Africa. But I guess as human beings, we don't have the sense enough to take care of our own art. Yet when we go to other countries, like when I went to Ethiopia, particularly to go see Lucy and to go to the palace, that's my purpose of going there, and we saw that they preserved their art. So as far as colonizers, European times, when I was in the military, I did not go to the museum. I was a young man. I wanted to see what was out there in the world. So I didn't. Now that I'm older, I slowed down. So yes, I'm interested in the art. Now, recently being in the Middle East, Arab countries I've been to, I have gone to their museums. And pretty much they're all the same. They were fishermen and pearl divers. Their culture is the same. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we know them as Arabs, but if you take that word and think about the Chaldeans and who they were, then across the pond, we have the Persians, Iranians. You know them as Iranian today, right? They're not Arabs, but they're Persians. That was the home of who? Nebuchadnezzar and the Tower of Babel back in the day, Babylon. So, again, history, I'm in the Middle East. As I say, front row seat to Armageddon. At the same time, I'm getting to, I understand the history, and I'm learning that through the help of etymology, the different meanings of words, and tying it all together into what I think, I believe, as a human being, and what my understanding of the history.
Man, Mr. Robert, your information is so amazing to me because there are a lot of people who have published books back home and have never left America once. And it wasn't until I left 5 years ago that I could fully appreciate just having the experience. And sitting here and knowing you all these years, to ladies and gentlemen out there, when I tell you we have a huge black presence, African Americans go link up with Mr. Robert's family on the holidays. We're out there at 3 o'clock in the morning, not wanting to go, having all of our, get your collard greens and your good times and just coming together as a people. One of the things I admire most about you, brother, is your sense of community. Growing up, I really looked toward black men of hoping that they will hold each other accountable. And as a woman of color coming to the Middle East and being able to be in your home and in the presence of great men of standard that you bring around, there is a hope in me as a sister and just a tribal community member of knowing that you men represent, well, all of us represent probably the super role models in our family, but most especially having brothers like y'all around, seeing you come together as a collective for holidays, knowing that people have children, black American children living abroad who still want to have their Halloweens. And I want to applaud you on just being the godfather of the Middle East in my book. What's that journey been like for you to come into the awareness that the wisdom that you bring forward to any young new contractor coming to the country, you are pretty much not just as a black male, but financially with wisdom. You are a true rites of passage for our brothers coming over here.
I would say to them, those who claim that they're woke or waking up, you have to ask yourself a question. How do you see America? Some of these brothers, a lot of these brothers I work with, these younger brothers, they believe America is still the greatest country. I no longer believe that anymore. So hopefully the young people, hey, do your research. I wish I had gone to HBCU school and learned more about black history. But now, being older, I understand why the young men are so angry, because they have went to these HBCU schools and they have learned about black history. My son, still on the angry side, because he's learned about how history was whitewashed and how they have lied and continue to lie. And it's not going to change. So if you woke or you think you woke, continue to read about black history in America. And don't read just black history in America. Look at European history. We had a great presence in European. We controlled them. Black folks, the Africans, controlled them for the better part of a century. Then we turned it over to the Arabs. And the Arabs controlled them and they lost ground. So, contractors, do your research. I don't want to promote racism, but at the same time, you got to understand the history books do not always tell the truth. And it's a reason why they don't teach black history in the public educational system. You don't learn about black history until you go to the post-secondary level of education. Your undergrad is when you start learning about black history. By that time in a human being's life, it's not late, but it's not fair. They should have learned that in their primary education, you know what I'm saying, versus going to the university and learning about it. Because if they'd learned about it primary, most of our people would be going to other universities and not going to these other universities, these D1 schools, where they would have stayed in HBCU schools. Granted, a lot of black folks are going to HBCU schools. More power, keep going. Support our own people, even with our businesses, black-owned business. But research, again, the black-owned businesses are not necessarily owned by black folks. They have black faces on the webpage, but if you read the information about the company, you'll find out that it's owned by a European. Descendant of a European in America, as I like to. The true name, they call them Edomites. The Edomites own it because, you know, again, there is no nationality as white or black. We all come from somewhere. We all come from a tribe. And the so-called Europeans are descendants of Edomites. So do some history on that one. There's a challenge for you. Research the tribe of Dan and where did they come from, and you'll find out Edomites. Anyway, yeah, I don't want to baffle, ramble. That's what I'm doing now. Anyway, so you need to edit this, please. Hope we're not live.
Man, you can express yourself on Freedom Friday anytime. Here at the Caribbean Radio Show, we are considered the knowledge station. So in the Bible, you bring up the Edomites. You're giving us the history that you're actually living. And that's the truth. That's the knowledge station. That's what we're here for, brother. I want to go into this season of Kwanzaa, not just giving thanks for you and this information, but I want you, a little trivia time. And here's a question. When you were raised in the States, did you have a maid?
Say again?
Did you have a maid or a nanny, someone to come in and clean your home in America?
No, we did not have a maid or a nanny. I was the cleaner.
Tell us.
I'm not going to be able to watch TV or play until my chores were done.
But for the last 16 years and the rest of your life, what's different about having a maid? What's the joys of having this service over here, Mr. Descendant of Slaves and Royal Kings?
Yes. Recently we moved a year, so we haven't had a maid in about the... Yeah, we moved this time last year. We moved where we moved right now. So I've missing the maid. She used to come once a week. And basically she would do the stuff I didn't want to do. And I would do the other chores. Like, I kept the windows clean. She would take care of the basic of the house, you know, the floors, the bathroom, weekly. And then I would do the other things, like the high dustings and cleaning the windows. I miss that. It's more work on me right now. So, as a youth, no, I did all the work. I was trained to clean. So, unfortunately, as a teenager, my whole teenage years, I worked in the kitchen. So, enhanced the cleaning skills because I worked in the kitchen for like 5 years. So I just do cleaning. That's what I did. So, yeah, you can imagine. I drive Sister Gina crazy because I'm clean. Everything's got a place and everything should be in its place.
So message to the black man out there. Brothers over here getting spoiled with these maids out here, man.
Yes. Yes, they are.
So here's question number two, trivia. In America, were you able to live without paying rent, water, lights, utilities? Was that your lifestyle in America?
Again, as a teenager working in high school, I started out working and I lived with my grandmother, but it just didn't seem right. So I always gave my grandmother portion of my salary that I made as a youth. Well, even though I worked washing dishes, I mean, when I first started working, I was making $2.90 an hour. That's a lot of money back then. That was back in the 70s. So I still gave some of my earnings to my grandmother because she was the one taking care of me. So I just felt right in my heart that's the right thing to do. So that's what I did, you know, until I actually moved out on my own. So it was just, you know, so... Paying rent, I don't know if it would be considered paying rent, but it was, like I see now, one thing I learned about the Middle East, we're all about family here. And in America, we need to learn that concept, family. Take care of our family first. I'm not just talking about sisters, brothers. I'm talking about the cousins, the aunties, the nephews. That's still part of the bloodline, your family. When we got cut off in the slavery years, they cut us off from that concept. We need to get back to that concept. I'm going to tell you who has a great concept, and they show it. The Asian culture, they're all about family, and the Arabs, all about family. Now, I don't know too many Africans. I met a few, but I've had more relationship with Arabs and Asians than about that family. So when we're talking about family, yes, the Arabs are all about family.
Well, it is Freedom Friday. Tell us what happens in the Middle East on Fridays with families.
Fridays is a family day. And quite naturally, you know, they go before noon, they go to the mosque. And they have what America would have, like this Sundays, where they would go to the church and hear the preachers. They do that here Friday. It's all about family after that. They go out to dinner. They'll go to the mall together to walk around, but this family, I mean, these Arab families are huge. You're talking, and if they got two wives, like the owner of this building I'm renting from, he has two wives and 12 children, so you can imagine what a Friday is like.
Mm. Wow. As we wrap up Kwanzaa edition of Freedom Friday, and we're nearing down to family, I want you to, and thank you for the trivia, by the way, I want you to leave a message, a Kwanzaa message, for the brothers and sisters back home in America and in the islands all over the world that are listening, that are actually on the edge of their seats about the possibility of moving away from the familiar and living in another country, a new country.
Take that step. Don't be afraid. Listen to your heart. Matter of fact, there are a lot of African-American sisters leaving America and moving to Costa Rica. I've seen a couple articles I've read about. They're just moving away. So those that are in the Caribbean and those that are in America thinking about it, do it. Plan it out and do it. Don't just do it. Write down a plan. Put it down on paper. Discuss it with people, discuss it with your family, research the economy where you're trying to go, and come to understanding, can you afford to live there? Can you make it there? And at the same time, I want to say something too to the young folks. Like I tell my sons, before they think about getting married, let's talk. It's not like when the mother and I were together or got married. Life's a whole nother game now. It's all about business. Families come together. Nowadays, you got to bring something to the table. If because she looks cute or he's handsome, if you don't have the means to generate income, you're not going to survive in this game they call life, which is serious nowadays. Marriage.
Thank you for the wisdom.
Right, you find that. You have to have a plan. You have to have short-term, long-term, but you have to have goals stretched out for at least 30 years. Matter of fact, the reason why I say that, I just celebrated my 30th year anniversary December 1st, so I think I know what I'm talking about when it comes to marriage. I've been married 30 years. That's a lot of families, a lot of couples don't do that no more. They may get married 6 or 7 years. I spent 30 years with the same woman, my best friend.
That's right. Congratulations.
Hello. I know my battery's getting weak.
You're still here. Congratulations and shout out to my sister Gina. Thank you so much for the love, Mr. Robert. And happy Merry Kwanzaa to everybody that's out there. This is your girl, Queen Sunny Honey. And this has been the last edition of Freedom Friday for 2020. As we enter into 2021, we just want to send out limitless blessings out there to you and yours. Know that that device that's in your hand, yes, Bill Gates run an entire corporation using his phone, and so can you. Boss up. This is your time to get your LLC and get in on the tax incentives, get in on all this PPP money that's out here. And yes, when we say limitless blessings to you and yours, let us break generational curses in 2020. Let us start the blessings right here and right now. Until next time, Happy New Year, and thank you from the Caribbean Radio Show.